Well, there are not many times when you can come to church and hear the newspaper read to you and enjoy it. So I hope you will take this as a prelude for the sermon that's to follow. As clergy, we sometimes need affirmation that we are preaching on the right track. And in this morning's paper, there was an article about the Vatican. They just had... I love Pope Francis. I don't know about you, but he speaks to my heart and the message of love and peace that seems to me we need for the world. The bishops in meeting in Rome, in Vatican City, were trying to endorse Pope Francis's call for a more merciful and a less judgmental church, and they're having some difficulty with that, as we will talk about in a minute. We have that kind of difficulty within our society. Do we want to decide who's in and who's out, or do we really want to be in service to each other? As a part of that document, though, it's good, I think, to go back and to look at the program that he has set up for the last 2 years, trying to come up with a document that is a process, really. The document is the culmination of a 2-year process launched by Francis to put into practice his call for a church that is more a field hospital for wounded souls than it is an exclusive club for those who are perfect. I use that as a foundation for what I would like for us to reflect on this morning. We hear a lot about community and of what it means to be community. The Republican debates have spent a lot of time talking about their Christian faith. You now have to be Christian in order to run for the president. There's not too much talk about service, however, and all of that. It seems that we are more concerned about deciding or trying to define who's in and who's out than we are about service to God and to each other. So I'd like to share a little bit of Matthew's gospel. Jesus was real good at poking us where we need to be poked. And the 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel is probably the greatest job of poking that one could do. I'm not going to read all of it. It's the one that deals with 3 or 4 parables. The first one had to do with the investment, where they are given money to invest, and some do a better job than others, and one knows that the master is just really very harsh, and so he buries it. And they come back, and the master is furious with the last servant. And he finally says, take the 1,000 that he's been given and give it to the one who risked the most. And get rid of this play it safe who refuses to go out on a limb. Throw him into outer darkness. And when he finally arrives, blazing in beauty and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on the glorious throne. And then all the nations will be arranged before him, and he will sort the people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep to his right and goats on his left. I don't want you to take that personally. Then the king will say to those on the right, enter, those of you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's come to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. And here's why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped by to visit. I was in prison and you came to me. And then those sheep are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you? And then the king will say, I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. And then he will turn to the goats, the ones on the left, and say, get out, you worthless goats. You are good for nothing but the fires of hell. And here's why. Because when I was hungry, you gave me no meal. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was homeless and you gave me no bed. I was shivering and you gave me no clothes. I was sick and in prison and you never visited me. And then those goats are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick and in prison and didn't help? And he will answer them, I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you fail to do one of these things to someone who is being overlooked or ignored, that was me. You fail to do it to me. And then those goats will be herded to eternal doom, but the sheep to the reward. May God's blessing be added to the reading, but most of all to our understanding and maybe trying to live out these words of Scripture. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we know that we live in a world where we are called both as individuals and as a community to be accountable. We hear your words and they shock us. So we ask for more understanding, more clarity, and more ability to live out these words of Scripture. Amen. Throw him into utter darkness. Well, those are kind of shocking words, aren't they, from Jesus? But the reality is that you and I know a great deal about utter darkness. We see it in our society, sometimes at the expense of community, in order to save those standards, high standards that we have. My mother's best friend, when she was a 15-year-old, got pregnant out of wedlock, as they said. And she was sent away. Remember those days? Mother grieved for her all of her life, for she never knew or found out what happened to Abigail. She just was there one day and gone the next. You see, Abby knew firsthand about utter darkness and what it does to you. While serving in Lamar, there was a young man who returned home from New York City who had contracted AIDS, and he wanted to be with his family during the final journey of his earthly life. And so he came home, and his parents, who were very embarrassed, but did take him in. And they called their pastor from a more conservative church that he had grown up in. And his boyhood pastor from this conservative church said he couldn't come to see him because it would set a bad example of associating with sinners. His parents called us because, as you know, United Methodists associate with sinners all the time. And we have a church full. I'm kidding. You see, John knew firsthand about utter darkness. It's interesting to me that Jesus saved his harshest words for how we treat people who have been ignored or overlooked. This month, we focus on Together We Serve here at Highlands. How do we use the community to serve God? How do we get back to our call to somehow share God's love rather than trying to decide whether someone fits or doesn't fit? One of my favorite stories that Garrison Keillor tells out of Lake Wobegon, he's in New York City on the subway, when a gospel preacher right across from him begins to hold forth and expound. "Which train are you on?" he says. "Which train are you on?" Keillor says to himself, "Well, I thought I was on the H train to Upper West Side, but obviously that's not what this preacher has in mind." The preacher didn't miss a beat. He said, "Are you on the train to heaven or you're on the train to hell?" He keeps up the question with no time for reflection. You see, his faith perfectly fits the subway from stop to stop. You got to hit them hard. You don't look for responses to it. You just give them what you want them to have. Garrison Keillor said, "You know, it fits on the subway, and Thoreau wouldn't." Just think about that for a moment. Thoreau is more thoughtful. You got to think about what he says about life and about the world we live in and our place in it. I guess I'm glad that we are part of a church, the United Methodist Church, and Highlands in particular, that invites reflection on the questions. On the questions that Jesus poses to us in life. Who is my neighbor? What is my call in life? How am I to serve and to be of service? Jesus' words are harsh reminders that we need to decide where we're going to stand. Or we could end up on the wrong train. Linda and I just returned from a wonderful honeymoon, mostly in Switzerland. I love Switzerland. Their society just runs well. Now, they paid lots of taxes, but there's always a train and a bus and a boat to meet you when you get off, and it's just an orderly kind of place. Anyway, we were spending some time in Vingen. Do any of you speak German? This is a participatory sermon, so if I mispronounce German words, you'll just have to straighten me out afterward. Anyway, we were staying some time in Vingen, which is a small hill village, beautifully set in Switzerland. No cars. Do all your walking and hiking. And we'd been on a trip down on the boat and whatever, and we're on our way back to our hotel. And the train stopped. This is kind of a visual thing. You go from Interlaken and you go to Weinstenshine. And if you don't know, you think I pronounced it correctly, don't you? Anyway, you go from Interlaken and you go to Weinstenshine, and then the train divides, and part of it goes to Grindelwald. And sometimes the train goes to Vingen. And so Linda and I were on the train, and not speaking a lot of German, we just got on the train that was the second class and sat down. And it stopped and stayed there for a couple of minutes, and then it left. And it became obvious when the train pulled out and the sign said, "Grindelwald, the next stop," we were on the wrong section of the train. You see, what happens if you don't pay attention is that half the train goes to Grindelwald. That's the first half. And the second half goes to Vingen. And we were on the first half, on the wrong road, not to our home. Well, fortunately, we could go up and come back. But It just goes to show in life, it's kind of like that. It's important to know where you stand because it could make a difference in where you end up. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two, another day, similar train. Now we had it down pat. We knew that you had to check when it said section B or C, which section you were on. So we got up to get off to get to the right one, and the door wouldn't open. We couldn't get out. And the lesson number two in life is that you can know which train you want to be on and still not get there because you can't open the door that is directly in front of you. Sometimes in life, we just can't open those doors, and we get stuck where we are. You see, we need to check our surroundings and make sure we know where we are. Scott Carpenter, who was one of the early astronauts from Boulder, Colorado, had an observation about hiking in the Colorado mountains. Lessons number, what is that, 3 and 4. First, he said, when you're hiking, you need to keep your eyes down on the path, or you could miss a step and plunge over the edge, which would not be good for your health. But number two, and lesson number four, is that you have to look up at the beauty that's there, or you will miss all that God has created. I think sometimes in life, and maybe in our society, we become so intent in looking down that we can't look up and see the beauty that God has created. It is interesting to me in this 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel that part of the parable is about the individual, the person who is thrown into utter darkness. But the rest is about community, and it's the community that screws up. And he said, sometimes we get it right and sometimes we get it wrong. There's the sheep on the one side and the goats on the other. What Jesus is saying to us, it seems to me, is that we are called both as individuals and as a community to be accountable to God as we serve. Our role as a community is not just to supply needed service projects where you and I can be busy, that keep us involved, but it's to be a voice for those who are overlooked and ignored. We are called to be God's presence in the world. Do you have a personal mission statement? You ever thought about having, we have them for all kinds of businesses, and the church, Highlands, has a mission statement. What's your mission statement? What do you want to accomplish in the days ahead or the months ahead or the years that are ahead? It doesn't matter our age, but we ought to be reflecting on it. As we listen to God's voice in our world, where are we being called and led to serve? I invite you to go home, if you don't have a mission statement, to go home and jot some things down. Begin by meditating on Matthew 25. When did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you homeless? When did we see you shivering? When did we see you sick or in prison? And hopefully in our meditation time, we will hear Jesus saying to us, whenever you did it to one of those who has been overlooked or ignored, That was me. You did it to me. Gracious God, we are grateful for your blessings in our life. We know sometimes we underperform. Seldom do we overperform. But we thank you for forgiving us and giving us another chance. May we hear your words. May we reflect on them. May we try to live out a gospel of love and care. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.